You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. PG&E is the largest utility company in the country, serving more than 16 million people in California, stretching from Eureka to Bakersfield, from the coast to the Sierras. If you're a PG&E customer, a decision this week by the California Public Utilities Commission could have an impact on your monthly energy bills and overall your bottom line. On Thursday, commissioners are expected to vote on a proposal by PG&E that could raise rates in the double digits. The numbers keep fluctuating, but PG&E initially asked for a 25% increase over 4 years to help pay for wildfire safety improvement, which includes undergrounding power lines. But ratepayer advocates argue that's on top of PG&E increases over the past 3 years, which outpaced the rate of inflation. State regulators have come back with proposals that are about half of what PG&E was proposing, running from 10 to 15% in increases. If approved, these changes will take effect January 1st. Either way, it seems that if you're a PG&E customer, you will be paying more for energy in the near future. Joining us to talk about what exactly PG&E is asking for and why the utility keeps coming back to ratepayers is Meredith Fowley. Meredith is a UC Berkeley professor and economist. Good morning, Professor Fowley.
Good morning, Vicky.
So let's start with where we are today, and then we can work our way backwards a little bit. Can you explain what is expected to happen on Thursday when the CPUC meets?
Yes, but you did a great job in your introduction. So as you mentioned, PG&E rates are high and rising and increasingly out of line with the rest of the country. So if you're a PG&E customer like I am, you've seen an increase of about 35-40% over the past three or four years. And as you outlined so nicely, what we're approaching here is a PUC decision that will determine how much more. The question is not whether rates will continue to rise, it's to what extent they will continue to rise over the next 4 years. And so the PUC has a really important job. They have to oversee this regulated utility, look at the cost projections that PG&E is putting in front of them, determine whether they're prudent and reasonable, and then approve them. And then if approved, where do those cost increases or revenue increases come from? They come from customers. So customers like me, who will need to pay higher bills. And so as we think about these proposed rate increases, I do think it's important to keep two things in mind. So first, power sector investment costs have to go up if we want safe, reliable, sustainable power system. That's a fact that we have to sort of make peace with. But second, how we choose to pay for these investments is going to significantly determine how efficiently we decarbonize, adapt to climate change, and who's going to pay. So the upshot is, in my view, power sector costs have to rise significantly. We can't do anything about that. But what we can do something about is cost containment, how much they're going to go up, and cost allocation. Who pays?
Yeah. And I think that that's really the crux of the issue, you know, how much and who is going to shoulder the cost and the rate increases. So, okay, so the cost of delivering electricity, it's getting more expensive. I mean, one of the big reasons demands on California to electrify, to move away from fossil fuels. But what exactly does that mean to someone who's a PG&E customer and why they potentially may have to shoulder a higher monthly bill?
Yeah. So I think you mentioned one. I think there's probably three reasons why costs need to go up if we want the power system I think we want. The one you mentioned is really important. So we want to decarbonize. We want to reduce our greenhouse gas emissions. And the best or one of the most promising ways to do that is to electrify, to convince Californians to stop heating with natural gas, start heating with electricity, to stop driving cars that need gasoline, switch to electricity. So that means electricity demand is going to rise for good reason, I think. But that means we need an updated, upgraded, bigger system, right? We need to replace fossil fuel generation with renewable energy generation. And then in addition, we need to expand the capacity, more distribution, more transmission infrastructure if we want more households and firms to increase their electricity consumption. At the same time, we want a reliable system, right? If I'm going to convince you to buy an electric car, you're going to want to know that the electricity is there when you want to charge it. Reliability is getting more challenging in the face of climate change. Anyone who lives in California remembers the catastrophic wildfire season. So if we want a safe, reliable system in the face of escalating wildfire risk, that's going to cost billions of dollars to design a system that can safely and reliably operate. And as if those two challenges weren't enough, at the same time, we've got high interest rates and supply chain challenges. So that's driving up the capital cost of new infrastructure. So it's sort of three challenges at once that mean that it's just going to cost more.
Yeah. And on the wildfire front, I mean, the risk mitigation is expensive as well. I've been in the footprint of the Caldor fire where PG&E was undergrounding power lines, and this is a larger initiative across its really large footprint in California. What are utilities facing when it comes to wildfire risk? I mean, because the Caldor fire is just one example of what's taking place across, you know, a really large area of California.
Yes. So I think it's important to mention, and you mentioned it at the beginning, that like the primary driver of the rate increase we're deliberating over today is wildfire risk mitigation. So it's a huge part of the projected increases going forward. I think everyone in California agrees that PG&E should be focused on and invested in reducing wildfire risk. I think where parties disagree is the how and how much, right? So and I think the CPUC proposals that you mentioned at the beginning, so PG&E has put forward one proposal, and then we have two alternative proposals that are coming out of the PUC. And in my view, those proposals or the PUC commissioners are asking really important questions about what's the just and reasonable set of wildfire mitigation activities going forward. So as you mentioned, PG&E is really leaning on undergrounding power lines. So its long-term plan is 10,000 miles of undergrounded power lines. And to put that in perspective, this year we've done 197 this calendar year. So those are many miles. And it's expensive, right? So the PG&E estimates in terms of cost per mile is about $3 million per mile. So you do the math and we're talking billions of dollars. And I think PUC is arguing that this is the way to eliminate wildfire risk from utility-caused ignitions. And I think other parties are asking, you know, is that the prudent way forward? Given how much it costs to underground, we have other options on the table, other ways that we can reduce risk, perhaps not eliminate risk. And I understand, especially for someone like you living in a high wildfire area, the inclination is like drive ignition risk to zero, but that costs billions of dollars. And so I think important questions are being asked as to just how far we go to eliminating the risk and what the cost will be.
When it comes to actually like the dollar sign, I mean, do utilities like PG&E, are they spending more than the state when it comes to wildfire mitigation? I mean, should the state bear more responsibility in this since it is getting offset onto ratepayers?
So you're asking a really important question. I think the answer is yes. Right now, the amount that PG&E is paying to eliminate or mitigate risk is larger. And I'd like to answer your question in two ways. So one, PG&E is spending billions of dollars to mitigate wildfire risk. If a tree or vegetation is managed around a power line, it shows up on your utility bill. If trees are managed far from power lines, that's on the state budget. So these are climate change adaptation costs that we are recovering on electricity bills. And I think we really need to think about the consequences of raising electricity rates to adapt to climate change. So I think one question we should be asking is, you know, should the utility be doing this much of the work, or should more of it be done by the state? And a second question is, even if the utility does a lot of the work, where should those costs be recovered? On electricity bills or on the state budget?
Yeah. And the reason why this undergrounding has taken place, I mean, other utility companies have done this as well, like San Diego Gas and Electric has accomplished that as well years ago, I think close to a decade ago. But this comes from aging infrastructure when it comes to PG&E's power lines. So why was this never really an issue before, you know, the last 6 years when we've had devastating, deadly wildfires? I mean, isn't the CPUC, are they responsible at all for just making sure that the infrastructure of the grid and utility companies that they oversee, that they're maintaining their power lines correctly?
Yeah, I mean, we do have aging infrastructure. And one of the reasons we're looking at high costs in the future is to deal with that issue and make sure that the system is up to the task. I think, you know, I don't understand the nuance enough to know, you know, how we should allocate blame. But I think the reality is the catastrophic wildfire seasons California saw a few years ago was a wake-up call to all Californians, whether you're living in a high wildfire district and realizing you should do that vegetation management or a utility, realizing that there's a lot of work to do. So I think that was a wake-up call, and we have lots of sort of neglect to make up in terms of investments we need to make, and really important questions about how to do this, because I think it's worth elevating. And this is, the PUC decisions are 900 pages long. I can't pretend to have read the whole thing, but some really important questions about undergrounding isn't the only tool we have. There's increasing line sensitivity, there's covered conductors. So there are other options on the table that don't cost quite as much. And that's the conversation that I think is really important that California is having right now.
PG&E did send us a statement this morning, and just like an excerpt of it, it said that prioritizing safety above else, that is their mission and their bottom line. But they also say that undergrounding power lines, along with other measures, that it will actually save customers billions of dollars in the long run. Do you see that actually taking shape, given that the reason why you're here today is because of a decision to increase rates for customers?
I've heard that argument, and honestly, I don't have enough information to answer the question, but I think we should be digging deep into that question before we approve billions and billions of dollars that is premised on that argument. So I think there's just more that we can learn about the relative effectiveness. Mm-hmm. And if I can have one more minute just to sort of underscore why I think this is really important and worth, you know, everyone's attention. I mean, if you think about what we're paying for electricity right now, it's like 35, 40 cents a kilowatt hour. A significant fraction of that 35-40% is not the cost of you consuming the next kilowatt hour, right? When you run your dishwasher and you consume another kilowatt hour, that's about 10 cents. That's not 35, 40 cents. The big difference is all these capital investment, non-incremental costs. And so high electricity prices, one, are a barrier to electrification. When you're deciding to do natural gas heating versus electricity, you think electricity is more expensive to consume than it actually is. And two is affordability. Low-income households spend a larger share of their income on electricity. Mm-hmm. So when we're thinking about how to raise these needed revenues, raising electricity prices is a pretty regressive way to do it. It really hits lower-income households hard. So when we're thinking about how we need to recover these rates, so we need to contain costs, but we're going to incur costs when we're thinking about how to recover them, our current practice of putting them in the retail electricity rate, I think is problematic both from an energy efficiency perspective and also from an affordability and an equity perspective.
Do you think it would help when we get our bill, just in the spirit of transparency, that customers would able to see like an itemized cost appear on their monthly bills so they don't think that like the 40, 30 or 40 cents is all because of using electricity in their house?
So I think information could be good, but I don't know about you. I don't want to spend my Saturday afternoon looking at my electricity bill.
I don't look at it.
So there's another proposal that is, just briefly, that is also in the works in California, which is to lower the per kilowatt hour electricity rate and recover more of this fixed investment in a fixed charge that increases with income. So that takes some of the pressure off the low-income households and puts it on the higher-income households. So I think I would prefer that because I don't, you know, information is good, but restructuring a bill to get the prices closer to right, I think, would be a preferred way forward.
Yeah, and often my bills just like kind of collect a pile on, you know,
on
the table.
And I study this stuff.
Yeah, you're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're talking with UC Berkeley professor and economist Meredith Fowley about the expected vote this week on rate hikes for PG&E customers. So if you're a PG&E customer, you've already experienced rate hikes over the last, you know, few years. Maybe you are cynical, and if there's another rate hike, you're not going to be happy. And so if you're a customer and you think that PG&E is passing on the costs to customers, you know, while people in positions of power, CEO, shareholders, they end up winners with huge salaries, bonuses, and dividends. Is the customer wrong in thinking this?
I think the customer is correct to be frustrated. And this is a lot of money. So I think I want to give a careful answer. As I will speak only for myself. I am heartened by the Public Utility Commission really pushing back with really good questions. Is this really what it costs? We agree that wildfire mitigation is priority number one, but we have an obligation to ensure that we do this prudently and efficiently. So I think the customer should be asking really hard questions about why these rates are rising and is there more we can do to contain the costs? I also think some of these equity affordability questions are also important. Who's paying? And are we okay with the current rate regime? Or are there things we could do to make it more equitable. Because I think if this clean energy transition is going to be fair, we need to be paying close attention to who ends up paying. So disgruntled customers, I understand. I am also a customer seeing my rates rise, and we should be really putting the pressure on to make sure that we understand what the cost drivers are and if there's anything we can do to achieve the objectives we have, which are really important, decarbonization and safety and wildfire mitigation. Can we meet those objectives more cost effectively?
Yeah, because you mentioned, lower income Californians, they take on a lot of the financial burden here. With your expertise, is there a more equitable way to cover the costs of delivering energy, safely and with the climate in mind?
Yeah. So as we were talking about before, and you've raised these really important points already, some of these costs are costs of climate change adaptation in the case of wildfire mitigation, or climate change mitigation in the case of accelerating electrification. So when we are incurring those costs and recovering them in higher rates, that's kind of like a tax. I don't want to use the word tax because it's provocative, but we're raising the price above what it really is costing on the margin to recover the revenues we need. And it turns out that putting this extra charge in electricity rates is a really regressive tax, really regressive way to raise those revenues. So one option, as you mentioned, would be to put some of these costs on the state budget. Wildfire risk mitigation, why is it on my electricity bill? Could it be on the state budget where taxes tend to be more progressive than a higher electricity price? Or the proposal I mentioned, which has some momentum, restructuring how we recover those costs on electricity bills. So we're pushing some of the burden off of the lower income households who can least afford to pay.
Yeah, because it's all interconnected. Like if you're a SMUD customer in Sacramento and across the river in West Sacramento, you're a PG&E customer, your bill can look different. But if you maybe have a flat rate or maybe something that is built into the state budget or maybe arguably a state tax so that everyone kind of shoulders it and it doesn't feel as heavy of a cost burden individually.
I think that's exactly right. And when you think about where the current rate regime came from, it came from a time where the costs we were recovering were more sort of directly related to electricity consumption. It was the cost of building the power plants and the transmission lines. Now the electricity sector is so core to our climate change mitigation and adaptation strategies that a lot of the costs that are being incurred in the power sector are sort of broader costs associated with our climate goals and objectives. So I think the argument to put them on the bills versus other places, we should be thinking about those more carefully.
Is this just a California problem? Are you seeing this in other states as well?
Yeah, so California, is a leader for good and for not so good, right? So we are pushing the frontiers of climate change mitigation. We're on the front lines of climate change, given where we're situated and our climate. So I would say we are a leading indicator of where we're seeing some other states go. So our rates are higher than the rest of the country, but we are hearing from other states watching California negotiate these challenges who see similar challenges ahead, increasing costs of climate change adaptation and the cost of the infrastructure investments we're going to need to keep up with electrification. So I think we are out ahead, but I think there are other jurisdictions watching to see how California meets these challenges.
Finally, given that it seems like PG&E customers, they're going to, shoulder another rate hike, which will take effect January 1st. We just don't know really how much, but that's really the topic of discussion for this week. Do you think that this is it, or there may be more rate increases in the coming years?
I would say there's going to be more. I mean, if you look and see what was in this rate case, it's only a fraction of the undergrounding miles that PG&E says that it's going to pursue. So I think we're just beginning. And that's why really, getting out ahead of this and thinking carefully about cost containment, lessons we learned today in terms of how to achieve that will serve us well in the years ahead.
Professor Fowley, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Meredith Fowley is a professor in the Department of Agricultural and Resource Economics at UC Berkeley. Still ahead, the U.S. Forest Service joins us about their Christmas tree permit program and how it benefits both your wallet and the environment. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicki Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.